All right. Good evening to you all online. Thank you for listening to the show tonight, 3BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. We have a bunch of people on the phone line, and the lines are still open. And we had a few more people join in the last minute. I welcome you all. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Joanna, hey, Illinois.
That was three at the same time. I think, did I hear Joanne?
Illinois, yes.
Hello, Joanne from Illinois. Welcome to the call. Who else?
Redding, California. My name's Kay.
Is it? What's your name from California?
Yeah, my name's Kay. Hi.
Hi, Kay. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
And this is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Welcome to the call.
Hello.
Thank you all for being here.
This is Lori from Fort Worth.
Hello, Lori. I welcome you.
Thank you.
All right.
Good evening, Heiss. It's Eric in town.
Hello, Eric. I welcome you.
Thank you, my brother.
All right. Okay, I welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location.
This is Mary. Hi, it's Marshall Shakey from Lake Villa.
I hear Marshall. Welcome, Marshall. And I hear Marilyn.
Yes.
Hello, Marilyn.
Hello.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Okay.
Hi there.
Hello, Terry.
Hello,
Terry.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
How you doing tonight?
All right.
All right. And we had a few more lines come in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hello, it's Sedona Jim. How are you?
Fantastic, Jim. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, and thank you for saying that, Heiss.
All right. Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Terry Brown, you do answer the question of how are you.
I know. I shouldn't answer.
Thinking about it.
Most people. Oh, it's Arthur.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good only from Michigan.
Who's that, from Michigan?
Yes.
What's your name?
Susie.
Hi, Susie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Arthur, Los Angeles.
Hello, Arthur. I welcome you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All right. And I welcome all those people that are joining in through BBS Radio online. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. But, of course, only if fun do. We welcome you.
Hi, hi. This is Kim in Florida.
Hi, Kim. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
All right. And somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Welcome, welcome. Welcome all those people online. Thank you for being here. This is a simulcast with a conference call. So at this point, every time you hear a ding, that's somebody else joining in. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Julianne in San Diego.
Hello, Julianne. How are you?
Hi. Fine, thank you. How are you?
Just great. Thank you for being here.
Good. Thank you.
All right. That's now, where is the free man, Mr. Free? Any updates? Sedona Jim.
Oh, yeah. We were in Phoenix yesterday.
In Phoenix.
Yeah, and we just got back to Sedona tonight.
All right.
Did you visit Uncle Terry?
We did, yes.
Oh, how's he doing?
Well, he's moved into the retirement home, the nursing home, and he's having a really hard time adjusting to it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of staff there, like they didn't serve dinner on time, and the food isn't good. And like he knows a lot about nutrition, and he really doesn't like the food there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Wynn went out and bought him a bunch of juices and stuff, He's got a refrigerator in his little room. But we were going to stay longer, but he's when's going to go back in a day or so.
Is he becoming one of the calls at all? Or?
How's he doing? He's having a very hard time.
Yeah. Maybe help him to come on the calls, because everybody in the call likes him.
Yeah, I know.
A hard time with his health. His health has gotten worse.
Just having a hard time adjusting to, you know, because he's then in a, using a walker, and so he has a little bit of a hard time getting around.
He needs a caretaker like you, Terry.
Like, yeah. Right. We seem to be encouraged by our visit, and we brought him flowers and stuff, and we said we were romancing him.
Oh, man, left to him.
Yeah.
And maybe he could be included in...
Can you please tell me, how do you pronounce your name? Is it Hyde or Heis? I'm sorry, I just... Can you spell
your name? Like H-I-C-E. Comes close.
Oh, H-I-C-E. Okay, yeah. What background is that?
That's not how you spell it, but it's how you say it. I'm from Holland.
Oh, okay. That's a very interesting name.
Yeah,
I've never heard that name before.
We just spell something Netherlands.
G-I-J-S. How's that for a word? Tell you, I got so busy posting questions, I forgot that the call started. Okay.
Okay. Well, but you're here.
Oh, wait a second.
Hello?
Here. The one guy is waiting for the phone number. Let me just send him an email for the phone number. Okay? And, Wait a second here. Here it is. Okay. Okay. Hang on.
Take your time, man. No worries. You don't have any time over here.
You know, Terry has had a wonderful caregiver, and she knows nutrition inside and out and healing foods. And she was cooking for him before, which was helping. But she went to South Africa to visit her folks. And hopefully when she comes back, she'll be able to help him out a little more.
And does he work at a care center, or will she just work for him?
Just for him.
She'll work for him. She lives two blocks from the care center that he's at, okay? And but the territory we went down and got him, a bunch of healthy juices to drink.
Get him some hemp seed.
Yeah.
I need to get him hemp seed. I got all the healthy juices we could find at Target. Hi there.
Target? Finally, I didn't help you at Target.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that either.
Maybe just wanted to say hello.
Who is that saying hello there?
Hi, this is Charles from Mobile.
Hey, say your first name again.
Charles,
hi. Mobile, Alabama, right?
Yes, sir. Nice to meet you.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for being here.
Yes, sir.
And let me see here. I see... You know what? We get a console, and occasionally I can see people on the console, and we see Percy, and we see... I'm not going to embarrass you if you're new. Don't worry. Okay, you can stay anonymous.
How do you see people? On Skype? Are you seeing people on Skype?
Well, actually, Terry talks to the Elohim, and she keeps running in little names. That's not true.
I didn't
know.
I can tell you, we have quite a few first-time callers, new people, and for the rest, I know that people who are present here are Donna, Dan, Ruja, Cleo, Steve, Anna, Robert, Michael, Wanda, Percy, Tala, Martha, Shirley, Don, Jane, Terry, Eric, Joan, Kay, Lori, Marshall, Jim, Susie, Arthur, Kim, Julianne, Wynn, Charles, Terry, and myself, and more.
All right, and Marilyn, okay?
Marilyn is here too.
Marilyn comes in as Ted, okay?
I didn't know that.
So, yeah. You know, it's like, what happens? That's you. That is, the phone is registered under his name, so it shows his name. Well, let's get started.
All callers are muted. This conference is being recorded.
And this is Wednesday, December 17th, and Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And as you know, this is the evening that, you know, we have three calls a week, and they're all different. And on our Wednesday night call, people submit questions, and we answer them live. Sometimes I answer it. Sometimes we chat. Most often we channel an answer, and it comes through Terry. And I always preface all of this is that the most important aspect of this work are things that you can internalize and apply to your life and make a shift. All of us have the potential to be better than we are, to be more connected to spirit than we are, to understand ourselves from a wise place. And the fact that we are talking to celestial forces that are very wise, and the fact that we've had a lot of experience in this realm, it doesn't matter unless it's something you can internalize. And it's also very possible that I make a mistake in something I say, or I don't get it right, that Terry makes a mistake. Channeling is not a precise scientific science. It's a kind of moving of dimensions together, and it is very possible for Terry to bleed through information from her conscious mind. And those of you that listen to the calls regularly and listen to the quality of the wisdom that comes through Terry will definitely see a difference between her conscious mind and the source that channels through her. But occasionally something can leak through. So you have to internalize this. And the thing that, you know, I call this an experiment for a long time, and it's still an experiment. And because it's very unusual to do something like this publicly. Normally, when people are connecting to interdimensional other side sources of this magnitude, it's very sacred, and they do it in private, and they protect the energy of it, and they don't want to be made fun of. They so it's a quiet thing you have to discover, and it's just a miracle that I've been on George Norrie and that George takes me seriously. And even then, I am sure I'm going to have detractors and think I'm this or that or the other thing. And that's okay, because I've learned that this work challenges people's reality systems. We all have a reality system, whether we're an atheist, a fascist, a believer in the news, a Christian, whatever. They're all belief systems that may have a lot of truth attached to them. But when you carry a belief system around with you and try to fit everything into your belief system, you miss some of the aspects of what's true in your present reality, because you keep overlying your belief system. So people that have really strong belief systems and they're attached to having them usually aren't attracted to our work, because it challenges the belief system. And not because I wanted to, I wished it didn't, because it'd be easier. But, you know, one of the reasons I say, you don't have to believe any of this. You can think of it as a fantasy. You can think of it as it could be true. And you can test it for a period of time and see what happens for yourself. Because, again, it's not about believing in the Elohim. It's not about believing in Jesus. It's not about believing in anything. It's getting the inner knowing that you know something is true, or getting the inner experience where something in the quality of your life changes, and suddenly you're more compassionate, you're more empathetic, and you have more synchronicities. And synchronicities are when, many people know what that word means, but if you don't, it's something where something comes into your life that looks like coincidence, but the probability of it being coincidence is extremely unlikely. And I've had these all my life, and it was always a mystery. How can the universe work so that one can have these totally statistically improbable, close to impossible events occur? How does it work? And I never thought I'd really understand it, but I kind of have more of a sense of it now. And I know that people that come to our calls start having more of these kinds of experiences. And suddenly they get a job, they get a boyfriend, they get money, they get suddenly someone they know that they had conflict with. The conflict disappears. And you can look for those kinds of shifts in your life, but that they don't usually happen through willpower. They happen through accessing higher aspects of yourself, higher energy flows in you that draw them to you. And it's kind of a mystery. It's always a mystery. You can understand it a little bit, but you know what? Understanding it intellectually doesn't necessarily mean you can make it happen, because I can't make these things happen from willpower. I kind of get, it's kind of a flow. It's kind of like, it's hard to explain more than that, except that there's an energy on these calls that seems to accelerate that for people. And you have to come in for a while to get it. So when we ask these questions, sometimes that helps accelerate that for people, even more so than the literal answer to the question. So, let's see. Why can't Madeline call in? She said hello to me, so she must be. Uh-oh. Did I send her the wrong phone number? God, I hope not. She's calling the replay line. We do have a replay line on all these calls. Let me just send her the number.
There's a 12.99 at the end, the replay.
I know. 5-7-7-2-6-1-2-0-0. You know, one of the problems we have, and, you know, we have 10 or 12 volunteers whose lives have been shifted to the point where they want to contribute to this, because we're not running on any big funding. And I have to do a lot. I have to do a lot to keep it all going. I have to do the mailings. You know, sometimes it looks like a big corporation, but it's not. I have to make sure Terry can pay her mortgage. And so sometimes some of of the things that don't get done properly. And I make mistakes, so just the way it goes. Better to do it and make mistakes than to say, I don't have time. And on that note, we're recording now. Let's go to the questions for tonight, okay? And, okay, now, we don't have very many rituals in this group. We don't have very many techniques. But the one thing we have is something called calling in of the light. It's like an invocation for protection, for protected energy, for myself, for Terry, and for all of you. Because my interpretation of what happens on these calls is that we are doing two things. First of all, we are expanding our own energy fields. Those of you that are open to it will feel a sense of expansion. And many people come on the calls, and during that sense of expansion, they open up to a more loving space in themselves. They open up to their depressions lifting. And so there's an expansion of energy on these calls. And we particularly focus on that expansion on our Sunday call. And the other thing that happens is this information that comes in from an intelligence that says they don't have bodies, that says they are pure energy, and they say they created the universe. And so we have the two things, the expansion and the communication, the intelligent communication from a voice that comes through Terry that explains itself as a group soul that was a breakaway from what they call the one infinite creator, and that created the universe through frequencies and through projection of energies. And they've explained to us how they've done it. Fascinating to listen. Now, are they who they say they are? I think they are. It took me a few years to figure it out. And for some of you, you have to draw your own conclusion. We have 1,000 of our conference calls. We have loads of communications with them. We have many, many people that have had some kind of personal experience that has been very positive. And the way this is all run is there's nothing to follow except showing up. You don't have to spend money to get this because we put up all the access for free. And eventually, occasionally, we sell something to the list of people that are interested. And usually if we sell something, it's something really, really good and really, really bargain priced. And you can even unsubscribe and not get mailings about things for sale if you want to. For a long time, we didn't sell anything. And I couldn't figure out how to make it all work. And Terry was going to lose her house. So I started a business. And I'm really good at marketing. And so we figured out how to make some things work. And some people, I got one email last week about somebody who was upset because of that. But, you know, this is the real world. It's got to make it work. And that's one of the ways that helps. And it helps us reach more people because the more money we have, the more we can spend. I mean, we spend $500 a month just to be broadcast on the internet. And that comes out of our own pockets, plus all the emails we send. So I thank you all who have been buying things from us and supporting us. And I like it doing that way better than just always asking for donations. Because I tell you, if we sell something, it's not just to sell it, it's like our pendants are just an awesome product. product. And they're awesome because of so many of the testimonials from people that are wearing them. Now, let me get to the questions. We're going to do that invocation, I said. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each one of us, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection from all those present on the line, listening to the replays, who would agree to participate in that connection. And we do this while honoring the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected energy that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. Our first, would our sources like to say anything before we ask our first question?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. And we would like to say we do not come over the radio. We do not come over the computer. It is the voice that comes over the radio and the computer and the telephone line. But we come directly to you. We bypass all the circuitry and the electrical currents that go, the charges that are put together to carry the calls, the carrier waves. We bypass all that, and we come directly to you, although the voice does come to you through the media. And we are delighted to be with you. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. And our first question is from Denise in Georgia. And her question is, how do I overcome past life trauma? It causes me to feel guilty in this lifetime. It seems to be a theme for me over many lifetimes. In other words, I do not feel deserving of having a stable, happy life as many lifetimes ago as I have been told I was a performer, either a trapeze artist or dancer, and performed in front of many, many people. But I dropped someone, and they died, and I never recovered from the guilt of this accident. Although it was purely an accident, I have spent lifetimes harboring this guilt. Any insight you could give would be much appreciated, as I think it is time for me to clear myself of this. Thank you, Denise. And if you don't mind, go ahead. I wanted to say something, but you say it first, and then I'll say something. Go ahead.
Yes. This is one of the hang-ups that individuals get into and entities get into when they are in the third density. Sometimes the lockup of energies occur when an accident happens and there was no intention of having that occur, although there may have been some fear that it might occur. So when it occurs, then the idea is they wish they could go back before it happened and can make it right. Energetically, you can go back before it happened. When this wasn't in your field, and you can reaccess the energy of how it felt before it happened, and you can move into that pureness again and forgive yourself and forgive them for the interaction that you had with them. Forgive any aspect of it or any inadequacy you felt that you had. it was not just this incident. As in earlier times, people were programmed to look at themselves as being lesser than. And the reason they were programmed this way was to keep their outreach down so that they could be controlled more easily. Because if one thinks of themselves as lesser than, it cuts their reach, their creativity, their desire to connect, their desire to communicate. And it was perpetrated on the majority of people that they were lesser than, and this made them more controllable and cut their reach and their creativity. You yourself, in your pure form, before all of this happened, exists, and all you need to do is forgive yourself in any aspect of this. Move into the energy, the pureness of you before that happened, before anybody tried to program you. You are a treasure. You are beautiful. And we see your beauty shining like jewels. We honor you. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just wanted to say that that is something, that question impacts many, many people. Many of us have traumas from past lifetimes. And that would even include me and Terry, and that we have learned a lot about how to work through those things. And one of the things that can really help, that's helped a lot of people, is our Sunday call. Because I believe this is what happens. We do these healing meditations, and we access the timelines prior to the trauma on those meditations as a group. And when you start accessing the timelines that are prior to the time the trauma started, and you get used to that access, it starts flowing into your life, and the whole thing starts a healing process without you trying very hard. So you have to experiment and see if it works for you. There's an energy that comes in to the call that our sources say is them. But in the highest aspect of looking at things, there is no them and there is no us. They are an expanded aspect of ourselves. And they are in a timeline that is above the timelines where all these traumas happened. So as we join forces, there's an energy that comes through the call, not the phone, as they just say, but through the call, through the energy of the universe directly to you, that if you feel it, and you sometimes it takes people a certain period of calls before they feel it. Some people feel it right now. People are different, and it's like, what does somebody need to go through to unfold themselves? But, you know, consider it your experiment, just as I considered it my experiment. What happens if I keep showing up? Does this help? Does this shift? And if it doesn't, you can try something else. I can't promise it. I just know it worked for many people. And do our sources have any comments to my comments? Any?
Yes, we see you directly, and we see your energies. And we see that you can burn brighter. You can reach out more. You can free the bounds, the binding that you have put on yourself so that you do not do any more of these accidents, and you can't free yourself from that. And when you do, your energies will burn more brightly even, and you will be able to express your joy and your creativity in your surroundings and with the people and with the things, well, even the little things that you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Susie. Susie, I don't have your city, and sometimes they like your city, so they can't answer it. If you're on the line, or they can sometimes just access your energy, but if they want to ask for your city, we'll have to defer the question, okay? But she says, this is my, I think she's on the line, because she sent this, Susie sent this into BBS.
Was it Susie from Michigan is on the line with us?
But this is a different Susie, I think, okay?
Okay.
If it came through BBS, maybe it's Susie from Michigan, I don't know. But let me just ask the question, okay? This is my first time hearing the conference call and would love to know, seems silly, but are the streetlights going out on when I'm driving at night, my guide, a relative, or so? If so, who? In other words, she's driving at night and the streetlights go out. And that's, we've had that experience. We've asked this question for other people before. But let's ask it for this person. Or is it just a sign of some kind? And if it is, what is the sign of? Is it a sign of? As a naturopathic doctor working to help others, this seems a silly question to me. But for some crazy reason, this is the one that seemed most outstanding of the millions of questions I have. Weird. Ha ha. Okay, Susie. We turn it over to our sources. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a wonderful question. And we see that also there are other people that access the calls, including Terry, who has streetlights go out sometimes, and other people who have streetlights go out often. And what it is your field is very big, and it encompasses the area of the streetlight, and it short circuits the electrical circuits in the streetlight, and it goes out because of the short circuit. It is a sign that you have an expanded aura, an expanded energy, and a high vibration. And it is something that we delight. We remember one time when Terry was in a restaurant in British Columbia. She was playing in the electrical wires in the restaurant and short-circuited the wires, and the electricity went out all over British Columbia, and it took a couple days to get it back on, and no one was able to explain why it happened except for a strange electrical surge that happened in the area of the restaurant.
You know, one of the things that is a repetitive theme in our work is that many people in this realm came in from higher realms, and they carry very high potentials, but most often, they get stuck in the reality systems of this realm, and they can't access their real highest potential, their highest mission, their highest purpose. They came here to be of service, but they can't find a way to do it. And you're probably, many of you listening, probably fit that explanation. And I know our work is helping people of that dispensation to feel a sense of purpose and connection for themselves. Next question is from Anne in Connecticut. I am very conflicted regarding an ongoing situation. And this is a great question. It's a great question, and it's one that many people have had themselves, have had to deal with this. And the question is, an old friend has been staying in my home for the last 4 years because he has no job, family, home, or money. But I do not know if I should allow him to remain here. He tries to help with chores, but is quite physically debilitated. I'm warned that I'm being taken advantage of and often feel this way. Yet I also have no family, which makes me very sympathetic to the situation and wonder if he's meeting my needs of fear of being alone and growing older. Question, am I enabling him to not take responsibility for his own life under the guise of helping him, or am I leaning on his situation in order to avoid my own growth? And Anne, I should ask one more question here, and that is, if you don't mind, I'm going to insert a third possibility. Am I fulfilling some spiritual action by allowing this to take place? And my comment is sometimes people have had people in another lifetime that did the same thing for them that they're doing for that person. They don't know that. They don't remember it, but they're compelled to help when it's in their face. And so with that, I turn it over to our sources. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a perfect situation that you are confronted with that will enable your own growth. It is from many standpoints in your daily interaction with him that you are able to isolate out factors within yourself that you need to work on to grow. There is the loyalty to yourself and your values and the desire to be honest and yet to be caring. And when you are daily working out details with him, you are presented with a situation that can be the major reason for the situation is that you are being caused by that situation to grow, to be able to express your honesty, how you feel about the daily living things and what you really wish for your own self and for your own self to give. And part of it is that you really wish to give and you really wish to care and express love to another, care to another. In working through the details, you will get much growth in how to be true to yourself. If you are true to yourself, then you cannot be untrue to the other person. If you go along with something that you do not really wish to go along with, then you are not being true to yourself, but you have the desire for giving and caring and nurturing for someone. So in the first place, take a look, maybe through meditation, on what it is you wish for your life. You have needs, some of which are being fulfilled by this relationship. Do you wish a deeper relationship with someone that could fulfill permanent need for the relationship duration, the needs, deep needs that you have. Are there aspects of this relationship that are not fulfilling to not only you, but the other person? If you find they aren't fulfilling to you, you may also find that they aren't fulfilling to the other person, that people do not really wish to take advantage of another. So it is a complex situation and a situation that can set the stage for very much growth between the two of you. There are alternatives also that you may wish to explore. Thank you.
I want to add an extra question to this, make it so everyone can think of the answer for themselves. We all, Jesus said we are our brother's keeper, and there's a common idea of what's called enabling, where you're helping someone and you're putting off their own growth. And then there are people that are truly disabled that come into your field, and you have a choice of whether to help them or not, because there's some chance that if you help them, they're going to need your help forever. In other words, they're disabled. They've got broken legs. They've got they're mentally imbalanced. But on another hand, within their mental imbalance, they sometimes have very high connections. Sometimes mentally imbalanced people have very high connections and they can't ground themselves. And the thing about it is, once you help somebody like that, who it doesn't look like there's a way out for them needing your help, if you come to the place where you don't want to help them anymore, they're usually hurt and they're usually resentful. How does a human discern how to make decisions when they're faced with these kinds of circumstances?
Thank you. When you make space within your own life for the things that you really wish, eventually the other people will also make the space for you and will eventually allow and bless your own growth. So by continue setting up a situation where you ask in a way that is not in accordance with what you see as your own growth path, you are not allowing them to move into growth, as they will at some level feel that they are taking advantage or that something isn't quite right. Eventually, when you make the space for what it is you want, the world will step aside and grant you the honor of the right, the space to do your own progression.
Thank you. Next question is from Ruvia in Canada. I'm just going to ask the general question. She has like a whole page here, but she asked a question about her cat that disappeared, and it set up a whole bunch of anxiety, what to do about this in her. And she was told that her cat existed somewhere and was under a porch. And so she's ready to go out in the cold to Canada looking under everyone's porch for her cat. And it's not near her. And, I mean, it could even be dangerous for her. She said, is she near my sister's cottage near Arwenda Provincial Park, or is she somewhere in Toronto? Would love a specific location if possible. Would love to see her again. And it was also, her cat seems to have reincarnated, so it's not her cat. It's a reincarnation of her cat. And is there anything you can share with her that might help her?
Thank you, Olivia. We see that you are protecting a path for your cat that you desire. However, your cat has its own path, its own goals, its own burning desire to be a hunter, to learn how to survive in an area that has not been hospitable. It is in the area of your sister's house. However, we see the best way is to wait, perhaps for the summer, when it is good weather, and to just, within your own mind and meditation, feel the connection with your cat. Send your cat the love that it may fulfill its own goals and desires and be successful, and that it really isn't imperative to go save it, as it is on its own track. It is not that it is such a beautiful cat that now it should go to the other realm and live happily ever after. This cat was originally born in the area of Toronto in its last life to have an incarnation here, which was its goal, to have an incarnation here and to be able to learn how to survive in the realm. And it is having, again, much like a cat chases a mouse. And it is a tremendous game. The cat, because he does not wish to go to the other side, or the cat would go to the other side. It is tremendous within the game, and Kasi had a tremendous game with you to cuddle and to purr and to be warm and close, and it was very helpful to Kasi to experience this. We see, rather than to go looking for your cat, to put within the universe that you will run into your cat on a synchronicity, that fate will bring you together at some point, and then see if your cat can recognize you and come to you, and you can go to your cat when you see the similar cat that is still Kasi, but is in his tremendous Earth tree density game.
Thank you. Hank asked a question, and Hank, I'm not. All your stuff is too long for today, but I want to give you something. I would mention that we have covered a lot of your question in some of our archives about, and if you go to the archives, spiritchannel.net, and look up Rewriting the Old Testament, you will find about 5 or 6 calls on this topic, because it's a long thing to answer. In general, our sources don't seem to be very predisposed to rewrite religious history. Even though religion has a lot of distortions in it, oftentimes it has a lot of truth in it. And there are many people that are using the truth in religion to connect with gods or connect with higher realms, and that it's not a good idea to take away and discredit their religion when there are aspects of truth in it. And so, you know, there are many things that have come through. I do my own research, and it's okay for me to talk about my research. But it's not necessarily good to talk to our sources to say, what really happened here and what really happened there? And did Jesus do this? And who was Yahweh? Although it is covered in the raw material, and it is covered in tremendous detail from my own research, not so much from channelings, in the spiritchannel.net under the search title, Rewriting the Old Testament. And let me see. We have a question from RLK. And I asked for a clarification. She has MVA there, and I don't know what MVA is. And I wanted to know your city, particularly since it's a personal question. So would you please ask that again? We also have a question from Rob. And Rob, ask your question next week because we're out of time. And I wanted to focus tonight on questions from new people. And if you're new and you want to keep asking questions, and, you know, the answer stimulated another question, then feel free to ask it next week. Because what I've noticed is people that are new, they ask two or three questions, and it helps them get it. And that oftentimes people email me about how accurately they were tuned into. So on that note, we're going to close this session for tonight, and I thank you all for participating in this hour, in this experiment.
When will you please send the email address to for the questions?
The email address, if you're sending your question, is questions@intelligent-infinity.com. And I usually send that email address out on the email that I broadcast to people. I sent this to our entire group, but I'm not going to continue sending these notifications out to the entire group. You have to sign up, and there was a link to sign up, so you get in today's email. It ensures that you will get the notifications for these calls with the vital information. Our next call is Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 o'clock Eastern time, and you can figure it out if you're in a different zone. Our calls are broadcast on the Internet, so people all over the world can listen. And on that note, I thank you all for being here. I thank Terry. I thank Hayes. And we will see you the next time, which is Sunday. And Sunday, I would say, is our most popular and our most important call. If we create a group energy and people feel the energy, and then we put healings of planetary, healings of intention for planetary transformation. And we've had lots of miracles happen as a result of that. So we'll see you next time. Thank you again. And over and out. I'm going to unmute everybody. And if you want to say goodbye, we'll hear you.
All callers are unmuted.